So we have in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Beis, Vayikach Hashem Elokim Es Ha'Adam Ha'Nechev B'Gan Eden La'Avi L'Shamra, because Baruch Hu puts Adam Rishon after his creation in Gan Eden, and he's there La'Avi L'Shamra to protect it, to work the Gan. Vayitav Hashem Elokim Ala Adam Le'Mor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. Hashem says, your instructions are very simple as follows. You are to eat from every tree in Gan Eden. However, but the one tree, the Etadas Tovra, that you may not eat from, and on the day that you eat from that tree, because, or when the day passes that you eat on that, eat from that tree, most tamos, you shall die. So now we shift. The mitzvah that's given to Adam Rishon to avoid eating from the Etadas is behind us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on with the creation of Chava. And the way the Torah frames that for us is Hashem looks at Adam and, so to speak, reflects on his creation and realizes, obviously he knew it before, but shares with those reading the Psukim, this creation of man does not suit Adam best to be alone. It's not good, just not good. Eslo Ezer Kenegdo, I will create for Adam HaRishon an Ezer Kenegdo, a corresponding assistant. Corresponding is how I'm translating Kenegdo, but it doesn't have to be translated like that, right? Kenegdo means opposite. So you can have someone who's standing opposite you, sitting opposite you, you're Chavrus in the Beis Medrash. Ezer means someone to help you, right? So Ezer Kenegdo can mean someone who's standing opposite you to help you, but it can also mean Kenegdo. Lehitnaged means to conflict, to clash. So if that's the pshat in the pasuk, so what's an ezer kenegdo? Someone who's helping you and also being oppositional, as it were, at the same time. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, I'm trying to make it a little bit bigger for you. At the bottom, can you guys see that? It's a little bit shaky. Sorry. Ezer kenegdo, zacha ezer. Rashi says the correct way to read the pasuk would be to put a little comma in between. Hashem says it's not a good idea for Adam to be by himself, so I will make him an Ezer Kenegdo. Don't read it as one single phrase. Read it as an Ezer, comma, alternatively, I will create for him a Kenegdo. And Rashi tells you, it depends. Zacha, Ezer. Lo Zacha, Kenegdo. If man is worthy, if he merits, then his wife, his spouse, will indeed be an Ezer. Will support him, will help him, and will be his teammate. But Lozach, if not, Kenegdo, she will be opposite him in a contentious sense. Actually, Rashi continues, Lozach Kenegdo lihilochim, like Lashon Mochama. It's gonna be a battle. So Ezer Kenegdo could either be someone who is helping me and standing by me, or according to Rashi, the second half, Kenegdo stands independently. The wife, the spouse, will be keneged, a form of opposition. That's how we're introduced to Chava, and without any more details of how Hashem creates Chava, that comes later. We move on and we find that Hashem brings all of the animals, all of creation, to Adam HaRishon to name them. So this stands alone. Is it connected? That requires a little reflection. So I want to pose a few questions to get us thinking and hopefully come to a better understanding of what's in front of us. So the first question at the beginning of the pasuk is Vayomer Shem Elokim Lo Tov Hayosa Adam Levado. Eslo Is it connected? It's not a good idea for a man to be by himself. Why not? Why not? Why is there no explanation in the pasuk as to why man shouldn't be by himself? Now, Rashi quotes from Chazal an approach. Rashi says that that if we have one unique being in Shemayim and one unique being in this world, so then it could be misunderstood as if, in the same way, Kodesh Baruch Hu was a dominant force in his domain, so man is a dominant force in a divine way in his domain in this world. And that would be a terrible mistake. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to create two human beings, because when you have two interdependent human beings and neither one it really dominates the other. So by definition, the human creation cannot be on the same level of, let's say, divinity as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one pshat. So the Ezer Kenegdo, though, isn't really relevant. That's a pshat, so it's a little harder to figure out why Hashem has to say, I'm going to create an Ezer Kenegdo. He could have just said, I'm going to create another human being. Maybe I'll even create another man. Why does it have to be a spouse? Why does it have to be a different gender? Do we really come away from the pasuk with all of the textual clues, understanding why it's lo tov hayosa avam levado? Maybe not. We need to investigate that a little bit further. That's question number one. Why is it lo tov? Number two, we have to understand better what Rashi said, that the Ezer Kenegdo, the opposition or helper, depending on whether the person is Zocha or not Zocha, the way Rashi described it, does that solve the problem? Whatever was wrong, whatever was low toe before, so how is it solved now? If anything, sounds like you're causing more problems, right? Before, it was just me, and I'm on my own. Now, Ezer Kenegdo, Rashi says, 50-50 chance, Zocha lo Zocha, if man doesn't merit, if man isn't worthy, then the result is you can have problems. So is that better? Lo tov hayosa adam levado. Some people would be better off, or they wish they were on their own, as opposed to having an unsuccessful and contentious relationship. Right. So what's going on? Did we really solve the problem with the problem of lo tov hayosa adam levado with an Ezer Kenegdo, or is it just as bad or worse than before? That's question number two. And I think we can begin to answer it as follows. There's a Mishnah that you guys are familiar with from Pirkei Avos. It appears in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. The first line is very well known. The speaker of the Mishnah, let me just open it up for you. Pirkei Avos in every sitter, the end of Minchah for Shabbos, you can find Pirkei Avos. Let's read it inside. Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav says as follows: Nitai Har Beili. Nitai from Arbel in the north near Tiberia. Har Arbel, the Arbel Valley is where Chazal tell us Eliyahu Navi will come on his donkey to announce the coming of Mashiach. So he gave the following instructions: Yeshua ben Prachiv, Nitai Har Beili Kibul Mehem. Those were the two Tanaim who succeeded Rabbi Yosef and Yochanan Ish Yushalayim, and his pair Yosef and Yerezer Ish Tzreita. So Yoshua ben Prachi, I'm sorry, is the speaker in Mishnah Vav, and he says as follows: Asei l'charav, make for yourself a Rebbe, ukenei l'cha chaver, and kenei probably from a lesson of kinyan, to be kona, to acquire, to purchase, kenei l'cha chaver. You should acquire for yourself a friend. Some actually take this lesson of kenei l'cha chaver very literally, that even if you have to pay for it, it's very important to have a good companion. Vavidanis kol adam l'kav sechus. And finally, famous instructions, Vavidanis kol adam l'kav sechus, always to give the benefit of the doubt, which we know is a chiyuv d'oraisa in many circumstances, from the pasuk of tzedek tirdof. Okay. So, What is he telling us? What is he telling us when we're advised kenei l'cha chaver? What is the importance of having a friend? Let's say I want to live on my own out in the wilderness, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in complete devotion and contemplation. I'll be in the forest, and I'll follow all of Rabbi Nachman's instructions on his bodhidus. Why do I need a friend? Why do I need a friend? So both Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam in their commentaries on the Mishnah tell us as follows. It's very simple. The Rambam says, "Akavana shiroi la'adam shiikna atzmo chaver akoparim kdei shiitaknu bo kol inyanav." The only way that I'm going to improve, the only way that I can perfect myself, is if I have a good friend. Moshe amru o chavrusa o misusa. There's a saying in Chazal: if I don't have a chavrusa, if I don't have a chaver, I don't have a companion, I might as well be dead. What does that mean? Why is it better to be dead than to be living alone? The answer is because all of life, the reason we're put on this world, is simply to grow. Simply to grow. Sometimes, the Vangon and others tell us, a person may be on this earth to be mesakein, to correct even one single bad midah that they were born with, or their environment as when they were younger engendered within them. But my mission may be to resolve that one midah. And if I don't have a partner in that endeavor, or better yet, if I don't have someone to even open up my eyes to realize that I have that mission, that aspect of my existence and personality and my character that I need to improve, then my life becomes meaningless in a certain sense. O chavrusa o misusa. It's absolutely necessary to have someone who is a good friend, an honest friend, who will not pull any punches and not beat around the bush. And when I need to grow, when there's something I need to correct, that person will inform me and tell me and not be afraid that I'm going to lose respect or I'm going to be frustrated when they point out my faults. That is the lesson of Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levad. Look at the Mesilas Yesharim. Try to put it on the screen for you. Mesilas Yesharim in the end of Perek Chav Gimel. The Ramchal tells us as follows. On the bottom, Ein Tov LaAdam El Sheyivakish LaChaverim Tamimim. It is only good for a person to do specifically this, to seek after himself Chaverim Tamimim, Sheyiru Einav, to open up his eyes, B'ma Shehu Iver Bo, in that with towards which he is blind. Yochichu Ba'avasam, and they will give Musar, and they will critique out of love. That's key, has to be coming from the right place. Benimtu matzilim osu mikora, and with that he'll be protected from any harm. Himasha ena adam yachaliros, but fisha ena roa chova laatzmo hemiru v'yavinu v'yazireno v'nishmar. That which he can't see on his own, they will see, they will understand, and they will guard him from it. There's a saying in the Mishnah in Nagoyim that says ena adam roa nige atzmo. If a person has tzaras, you have to go to the kohen. If you're a kohen, you are not allowed, or it is not considered acceptable halachically for you to be the one to look and to pass judgment, to paskin on your own saras. Rather, you need to have another kohen look at it, because ein adam roa nige atzmo. So the Baal Musar tell us in a bederach tzachus that should be taken in a broader sense as a piece of musar. Ein adam roa nige atzmo. The standard human nature is that we don't see our own faults. And if we don't have someone else who can tell us where we can improve, where we need to improve, then we'll always remain blinded from the areas of personal growth that we have to seek to overcome. And Rav Dessler also makes a reference to that, that same notion of Ochavrusa Omisusa from the story of Chonei Mago. Maybe some of you guys learned it in Masechas Tainis. He goes to sleep for 7 years and he wakes up and no one knows who he is, and he walks into the Beis Medrash and they don't believe him when he identifies himself, and he says, I might as well die if I can't live in the company of others who know who I am and I can relate to, that there's no point in me living. So it's fascinating, because the way we usually, Rav Roth points this out in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, the way we usually think about friendship, the way the world thinks about friendship sometimes, it is much more self-serving, but not in the spiritual sense. People are often friends either because it's weird for them to do things on their own, or it's not socially normal or cool to do things by yourself. So you need a friend in order that you should not be alone and look like you are, forgive me, lack of a better term, a loser. Moreover, even if there's more substance to a relationship, very often people find others like themselves to be a friend, because that actually helps them strengthen the current persona, who they are. Because the more I find validation, the more I find in my social circles others who are like me, the more that I find that I can be myself and be comfortable being myself, and that I'm justified and vindicated in being myself, because my environment supports that. Right? People usually feel uncomfortable about, let's say, someone who is much firmer than them. Not always the case, but sometimes people are put out of their comfort zone because they become insecure. That person is different than me. Well, then maybe that means there's something wrong with me, and that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be with someone who makes me feel like I'm really not who I should be. It's a dangerous thing. And sometimes that's the way we look at friendship, even if it's subconscious. That's how we end up choosing our friends. Come along the Mefarshim over here, and they say, Adrava. That's just the opposite of a way a person is is kenel chachavah, like the lesson of the Mishnah. Instead, you definitely have to find someone who is going to call you out. You have to find someone who's going to show you where you need to be to improve. But that also entails just the attitude of kenel chachavah in this fashion means that I care enough to want to improve, to want to change. And that's why I seek friends who will not be afraid to point me in the right direction. This was a vort that I heard once from Mr. Gerald August, Olav Shalom. He was the public speaking teacher here in the Smicha program in YU. And when he was helping the Talmidim prepare their drushes and Divrei Torah, so he would often share some of his own Divrei Torah as well. I gained a lot from him. And it's a schus to be able to share some Divrei Torah from him. To understand that what's going on in the pasuk over here in Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch says, Lo tov yoso adam levado. Let me give him an ezer kenegdo. Let me give him an ezer kenegdo, meaning that the lo tov, what's not good about being by yourself, is that you never have the opportunity to be shifted, to be redirected. You don't have anyone to tell you this is what you need to do to improve, to change. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will create an ezer kenegdo so that man can resolve that tov. Now we can see how that tov, the lo tov is resolved, because he will have someone, a wife, a spouse, who can show him what he needs to do to perfect himself. So that's a whole different outlook on why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a woman. Right, it sort of reminds us yesterday, those guys, Herder Weinberger, the dethroning of the king, of the Chasen Domo Lamelech. You know, sometimes people have a culture shock. Sometimes people get married and they think that their wife is there just to compliment them on everything that they're doing and to smile and say, yes, you are the best, the most handsome, the smartest, the most well-organized, thought-out, and a talented person I know. Keep it up. You're doing great. That's why I married you. And that's usually not how most relationships proceed after marriage, and for good reason. But the reaction is the key. And that's what Weinberg was saying. A person can either feel dethroned and feel like nothing and feel like everything that they were, all their unrealistic expectations of a serious relationship and marriage are out the window. All the fantasies you have about what married life is about has just been dashed and smashed and broken by your wife, and maybe I should have married someone else. Chas v'shalom, adraba. Hashem is telling us in the very first parasha of the Torah, in the very onset of human life on this planet, I created your wife because if you think you're so perfect the way you are right now, you're wrong, and someone needs to tell you that. Someone needs to tell you that. It's up to you to have the self-confidence and the security and honesty to say, you know what? There is so much that I need to grow and there is so much I need to improve. And Baruch Hashem, I spent all this time dating and finding the right person who I trust, who I respect, whose values and whose priorities can have a positive influence on my own growth in that regard. And that's why, even though it says Ezer Kenegdo, we asked, how are you resolving the lo tov? It's not good, so I'm going to create someone who's oppositional if I don't merit it. The answer is yes. Even that is good. Sometimes what you think is good is not good. That's why we say it's going to be this week, Mr. Hashem Shabbos Mivarchem, right? So we say, Kodesh Baruch should be memal v'shalos libeinu l'tova. Hashem should answer all of the requests of our hearts l'tova. Why do you need to say l'tova? Isn't that obvious? Why would I ask for something that's not l'tova? So the answer is because sometimes you ask for things and they're not tova. And therefore, Hashem, this is what I'm asking for because I think it's good, but please only fulfill it if it really is good. So here, the pasuk is telling you, this is good. Lo tov heyosa adam levado. It's not good to be by yourself. Tov is having someone who, in the right way, is going to critique you, and you can either see that as lo zacha. It doesn't mean if I'm a bad person, she's going to oppose me. No, lo zacha, if you don't get this message, if you are not zocha to appreciate that marriage is another stage of avodah Hashem. Rabbi said, please write this line down. Marriage is just the next stage of an avodah Hashem where I'm seeking new areas and new media to facilitate my growth as an Ovid Hashem. Then I'm going to fail. And then I'll only see my wife as kenegdo when in reality she's always an Azer. It's not an, if this happens, she's an Azer. If that happens, she's a kenegdo. No, she's always an Azer. just a question of how you view it. You could view it as kenego, but the solution to lo tov is that you have an ezer. Don't let it appear to be kenego, because that's your own mistake. That's your own incorrect perception of what's going on before you. There's a medrash, I'll put it in the chat group briefly. One of the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chalafta, was asked by a non-Jewish noblewoman, what is God doing all day since he created the world? It's been almost 6,000 years. What's he so busy with? He created the world. So it's a little bit of a silly question based on our understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the answer that she was given was Kadosh Baruch Hu is busy being mezaveg zivugin. He makes a lot of shiduchim. Shiduchim are not so easy to do, not so easy to make. So that occupies a lot of his time. And as the medrash continues, Rabbi Yosef Baruch Chalafta adds that when Kadosh Baruch Hu makes shiduchim, he's osalahem mizivugon bal korchon shelo b'tovasim. Brings a pasuk to support this. But he says part of the challenge and part of the busy preoccupation that keeps HaKadosh Baruch Hu working so hard in making these shiduchim, so to speak, kivyachol, is because he does it against the will of the people who are getting married. Really? What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making zivugim against a person's will? You ask them under the chuppah, you want to marry this person? They'll say, of course, that's why I'm here. That's why I got all dressed up. That's why we have the hall and the caterer and all my friends here. Right, so what do you mean, Balkar? Where is there ever an expression of not wanting to marry the person who I've chosen, who I got the ring for, and decide to spend my life with? If it's against their will, the kedusha is not chal. The answer is it's Balkar, because very often, as the relationship proceeds, the misperception of, wait a minute, this is not what I was expecting. Shelo b'tovasan. It's not tova. It's not what I want. It would have been better for me to be on my own, be by myself. The clash, Rav Chaim Brennan explained this. You can find this word in a friend of mine, Rav David Rosman. He's a Rebbe in Geshen, or Yisrael, in Isha Torah. So he published a Sefer on Shalom Bayis. It's called Your Wife, Yourself. And they quote this word from Rav Chaim Brennan. Rav Chaim Brennan was one of the great tzaddik of Mei Sharm. He died maybe about 20 years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael. He had just died when I was learning Mei Sharm. That's the pshat in the medrash, that he's mezadik zivugim, he makes shiduchim bal korchan, because there is that clash. It would seemingly against the will, but that's just the attitude, that's the mistake people have, not realizing, because they have some misconception of what marriage is supposed to be, what a relationship is supposed to be, and the end result is thinking, well, then I'm stuck with someone who tells me I should be doing this differently, I'm wrong, I'm lazy. No, whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu set you up with, and whatever time she has on you, take it in stride, because Hashem set you up with that basheret, because Hashem knows what's best for you. He knows what's tover for you, and he knows the only way that you will reach that next level of completion in your life. It's not just a fluffy thing. Oh yeah, two parts of a whole, two halves of a neshama that come together. That's why we make a bracha under the chuppah, yotzer ha'adam, now is the creation of man. It's true, because your fulfillment and your wholeness and your unification of souls will come when you meet her halfway, when you can accept whatever it is that she finds fault. Okay, she's got to do it the right way also. That's for the college teacher to educate, hopefully. That's for the, in seminary, hopefully talk about it. But for the husband, you have to keep this in mind. It's a positive thing. It's a tova. That's what it says in the pasuk. The ezer kenegdo is there for a person's own benefit. And I think this sheds light on a couple episodes we have in Sefer Bereishis. With the Avos, Yaakov Avinu is taken to task by Chazal and punished. The abduction of Dina that we see in Parshas Yishlach, Rashi already tells us, was the result of a mistake Yaakov made. When Yaakov met up with Esav and he introduced his whole family to Esav, his wives and his sons, he puts Dina in a box. And the reason he put Dina in a box was to protect her. He was hiding her. He was afraid that if Esav saw Dina, he would immediately want to marry her, and it would be kind of awkward for Yaakov to say no at that moment. So he hid her in a box so that Esau wouldn't even know that Dina existed. And the result is that she was kidnapped by Shechem and violated, and the whole episode that ensues in Parshas Yishlach. So the question is, why? Why was it such a big deal that he hid her in a box? He was protecting her. Would you want your daughter to marry Esau? Chas v'shalom. The answer is no! Maybe if Dina would have met up with Esav and they would have gotten married, maybe Dinah would have been able to transform Esav. Maybe at that moment of realization of peace that Esav experienced when he was together with Yaakov, maybe that little spark of inspiration would have allowed Dinah's qualities to enter somehow into his heart and spark a little Yetzer HaTov and transform. Even Esav HaRasha could have been transformed. But he never had that chance because Yaakov prevented Dinah from connecting with Esav. It's startling. But what's the Musar? The Musar is that a person's wife can turn even a Rasha into a Tzaddik. And it was a missed opportunity. We find a similar thing in Korach. On ben Peles, one of the right hand men, one of Korach's top henchmen, was about to get swallowed up and taken in by the rebellion of Korach. We know what happened to all of them. They were either burnt up in a fire or they ended up down in the, you know, falling through the earth. On ben Peles was saved because his wife saw where this was going, and she intervened. So if a wife can do so much to transform a person, to save even an Esav, then a person should look at all of the positivity that he will find when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him that woman, or for those of you who already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent you that shidduch, even when there's criticism, even when you're being called out on stuff, you suck it up, you say to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'shem Shamayim, I hear the messages you're giving me, thank you so much for the bracha, of finding a wife. I'm going to utilize that bracha in a way that puts me on a proper trajectory towards growth and coming closer to you. I throw in also, in Parshas Vayishlach, we have the wives of Esav. Esav married a woman named Machlas. Chazal tell her name wasn't Machlas, it changed, but the Lashon of Machlas is used to refer to her because we know when a person gets married, he earns a machila. So I don't know if it applied to Esav, but when a person gets married, it's one of the Gershon Iskari, Kakadim Shinoladam, a person converts. There's other examples also. When a person gets married, that earns a person a mechila. So what's that all about? Why should you get a mechila just because you get married, right? It's just like magic, you know? So do a big avera, get married, it's all off the books. So I think the pshat might be like this. The whole concept of tshuva, as we know, is a chiddush. It's very hard to understand, you know, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to wipe away averos as if they never happened. I did them. They're on my slate. How do I get away with it? So I was thinking once as follows. The first year that I was teaching in BMP, so I had a Talmud from one of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter which one, and he came over for a Shabbos meal, and we were shmoozing at the Shabbos meal, and he mentioned that there was a Rebbe in his yeshiva, and apparently, you know, this was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, but this was a common thing, so maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. This Rebbe in yeshiva, at the end of Shana Aleph, takes each of his Talmidim, all the guys, each of the guys from Mashir, out into the forest, and has a private conversation with them, and tells them the first name of the girl they're going to marry. And it's a little bit spooky. I don't know what type of Kabbalah powers this Rebbe, you know, is working with. So I asked the guy, I said, Chaim, like, is he right? Like, you know, is he at least, you know, on the money? Is he able to predict the future like that? So he said, most of the time, yes. Generally, he's on, but he's not always on. So I said, so what does he do if he's wrong? So he says, if you come back to the Rebbe and say, no, you got the wrong name. He says, incorrect. I got the right name. That was the right girl for you where you were holding when I was speaking to you. If you married someone by a different name, it means that you're in a different place than you were before. Okay, so some of you guys are laughing and you think that's a cop-out, but I think there is some truth to that. There's some truth to that. Okay, again, I can't tell you if this Rebbe has you know, the koach to predict, I would be a little bit nervous, but this is essentially what we know about tshuva. One of the aspects of tshuva, the Rambam says, is people even change their name, the same way they change their name if chas v'shalom they're undergoing a terrible illness. What's that about? What is changing your name about? The answer is tshuva is saying, I am not the same person. I am not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decree on me because I have X, Y, and Z, averos that I performed. No, that was him. I am somebody else right now. Tshuva is transformative. It can really turn you into a new person. And the Maral and others say that's the pshat and tefillah also. If a person is sick, what gives you the right to come to God and say, heal me? What do you mean? I want you to be sick. Who are you to tell me that you shouldn't be sick? The answer is, you wanted that person to be sick. But if a person really uses tefillah as a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a higher level, Be'etzem, the gezeira is not applicable to that person. It's applicable to the person before he engaged that strong relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And maybe that's what's happening. That form of tshuva, that Yom Kippur, which can transform people. We know sometimes by the end of Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah, we feel like we're on a level that is so different than the way we're going to feel tomorrow or the way we felt a week ago. Yom Kippur has that transformative effect. And any tshuva, maybe even the day that a person gets married, also has that transformative effect that I'm a new person. And the same mechila that I can earn on Yom Kippur, because that's not me anymore, I'm someone new. When you get married, you also have the opportunity to be someone totally new. That's why you're getting married. You found someone, the other half of your neshama, who's going to work together with you as a partner, who's mutually and reciprocally interested in growing together to change. And therefore, whatever criticism there is that my wife sends in my direction, that's my Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Kippur that keeps recreating itself every day. It's part of my change. It's machlas, mechila, tshuva. I'm someone else. I'm someone new. And if you don't go in to marriage with that attitude, then it just has a lot of resentment. And that's backwards. And it's also, unfortunately, moving in the wrong direction. It's counterproductive. That's the Ezer Kenegdo. Zacha, Ezer. You will see that Hisnagdus as actually being very helpful and productive and forward moving in your trajectory. This is so Yisod HaSukkah Bosai. And I think if people had this attitude, it would really make a big difference in Shalom Bayis. Eli posted over here, what about the Yom HaMisa? It's a very interesting question. Yom HaMisa also has a capacity to be a mechaper. So Eli, I assume what you're saying is that transition from my life in Olam Hazeh to a new life in Olam Haba maybe resembles that same, I'm a new person. I'm not sure if that's what you mean. The third example of the Gemara says, a ger, someone gets married, and someone who's Ola L'Gedula, who takes on a new role, who becomes, who is in a position of leadership. It's also transformative. Like we say, Vayakam Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim, right? He wasn't a new Melech, but he transformed himself. He became like a new person coming into power. You know, maybe that's a remnant to this concept of Mechilas Bonus. But this is the idea of Bosai. Just want to add briefly, give me two or three more points. I'm sorry. I mentioned to one or two of you in the past before. I'm not sure I mentioned this in Shir, but I think there's something very powerful to consider also. In the words of Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok offers an explanation. I don't think this is necessarily all-encompassing or a full conversation, but he describes why is it that homosexuality is something which is taken so seriously negatively by the Torah. Why is it that the Torah talks in such harsh terms about homosexuality? So he provides a hashkafic perspective, which I think just helps us frame things, whether you want to keep in the realm of the Isser Mishka of Zachar or to again for the lesson that can be taken from it, because it's very similar to what we've been discussing. He says, why doesn't the Torah want a relationship between two men? Why is it that we're going to focus, there's one way and only this model, so to speak, of a husband and wife as a Kodesh Baruch Hu created. And he says, the reason why Hashem wants you to get married, the reason why we see in the Pasuk the creation of Chava to be a partner with Adam and Rishon, Lo Tov Eyosa Adam Levado, Ezer Kenegdo, specifically the contrast is where the fulfillment of the relationship is seen. Dafka where there is a clash, a healthy clash with positive, constructive outcomes. That's the tov of the creation of relationships. That's the tov that we've been discussing. So therefore, I'm going to go find someone who, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, someone who is so vastly different psychologically and so different emotionally from myself and anyone who has had or is in a relationship with someone of the opposite gender, know that a guy and a girl can react to the same thing with so vastly different reactions, and sometimes that can be a point of contention. Or what Rabbi is saying is it's an opportunity to bring in a new attitude, a new outlook That's so different than what you are already programmed naturally, how you look at things. Because by having another perspective, that's where you're going to grow. To know that it's not just the way I see things, it's not just me, it's not just my perspective, but I can learn from someone else who I respect, as different as that person may be. So to go and find the spouse who's going to be that much more like me is, in that sense, instead of explaining, the undermining that goal for the procession of human growth through one's lifetime. That's the spin he puts on the iser of mishkel zachar of homosexuality. And I think, just to round this off, that's also what we find in Parshas Noach. Next week in Mishnah Shem, the end of the Parsha, so they build the Migdol Bava. And what's the reaction? Everybody knows. Hashem makes each person speak a different language. They can't communicate, and it all breaks down. Rashi, from Chazal, already at the beginning of that segment in Parshas Noach, explained that the problem was they were all united. They were so together in a dangerous goal that the result was that it was explosive, and they had to be divided up because the unity that they enjoyed was a ticking time bomb, basically. Maybe we can add a little more to that when the more that people are the same. The Pasuk describes them as Am Echad, M'Safa Achas. They were one people with one tongue. A little diversity is still healthy. There's got to be Achdus, but a little diversity is necessary because otherwise there's no room for introspection. If everybody is 100% on the same page, and there was no outsider, there's no one on the sideline to look at the Migdol Bavel and say, what are you guys doing? This is crazy. You're trying to fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know you're going to lose. There was no one to set them on the right path. That's a danger. But the more that a person learns to adapt to others who are not like him, in marriage and even outside of marriage, the more that you learn to adapt to people who are different than you, the more that you'll be equipped to internalize positive, constructive feedback that helps you grow. And for the Leva Torah shout-out, Rebbetzin Machlis, and Alex, for you, yeah. So I don't think this is in the book. I didn't read this in the book. It could be it is in the book. But maybe 10 or 15 years or so before she died, she was world famous even before the book, before the biography was published. Someone interviewed her. And I just read to you a few lines from the interview, which I think adds a new dimension to what we're saying. But one can also postulate that much of a child's inability to deal with himself and the world comes from egocentricity. When a child learns to care, think, love, and give to the other, he or she actually matures quicker and builds his or her character to be a more efficient, responsible, and effective human being in society. Okay, in other words, the more that you have to interact with other people, the more that the midos of chesed and ava and rachamim and nesina have to be developed in order to be part of society. And she had 13 children, maybe 14. This is also an argument, she concludes, for having more children, because the more siblings there are, the more types of personalities children learn to deal with, and the more social skills they develop in terms of tolerance, patience, sensitivity, and love. That's a profound statement. The larger your family is, the more different, varied types of people you need to get along with. And as we said, perhaps in the long run, when a person matures, the more varied forms of self-growth that can be culled and can be gleaned from others, when our ultimate purpose is to try to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the summary in two sentences is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help everyone find their Bashert if they haven't already at the right time, easily, smoothly, and with clarity. But from the moment that relationship is formed, the attitude that every one of you, every one of us, needs to have is that the divine intervention that brought me this wonderful person also divinely intervened to give me a new capacity, together with my wife, to find areas in which I can grow, even if it means being humbled sometimes, even if it means being dethroned, even if it means sometimes needing to break down, admit where I'm wrong and build myself up again. But that is what truly is what marriage is about and what life is about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezahak us to reach that goal and be successful.
Very cool question.